Begin the current daf, Masechta Sanhedrin, daf Mem Beis. Begin 7 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in the discussion from the previous daf, specifically teachings from Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Basi, and then Rabbi Yechanan on the topic of Kiddush Lavana. So, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Amar Basi, Rabbi Yechanan, he says, Kala Mavarach Al Chedish Bezmane, whoever blesses the new month in its appropriate time, which is when the moon renews itself and then the month begins, which is what we call Kiddush Lavana, it's as if he has received the divine presence. It says over in Shemais HaChodesh Hazeh, this month should be the new month for you, which talks about the renewal of the month on the moon. There's another passage in Shemais that says also the word Zeh. Zeh Kelevan Beyo, this is my God, and I shall beautify him, where we see that that's receiving the divine presence, which is the same thing as HaChodesh Hazeh. Also, it's as if one's receiving the divine presence. Tanu Rabbi Shmuel was torn in the Brisa of Yeshiva Rabbi Shmuel that says, "Il moli leizach Yisrael, if it weren't to be that the Jewish people would merit, el hakbul pnei avim shebashmaim kochodish v'chodish, that they would only receive the face of their Father in heaven once a month, which is during Kiddush Lavana, as we said, it's like as if mekabel pnei shechina. Then dayim, that would be enough. Where if not, if they would only merit this one mitzvah and nothing else." Which we said from the Gzeirah Shuvah of Zeh Zeh, it's as if they're receiving the Divine Presence once a month, that itself would be enough. So Abaye, he says, therefore, since it's like we're receiving the Divine Presence, Nimrinu Mu'umid, we should say Kiddush Lavana, standing up to make that bracha, because of the honor of the Shekhinah, which we're receiving at the time when we make that bracha, which we say all these words in the by the text of when we say the Kiddush Lavana, besides the bracha. Now, Mirema or Mazutra, Mikasvi, and some of the Girsa, Hadodi, Umavarchi, they would shoulder themselves, meaning they would support themselves on others' shoulders, because although they were too old and too weak to stand, but they wanted to be able to fulfill this dictum of Mikabot, you know, Neshchen, and standing, and then they would make the bracha. Now, Amli Ravachal Ravashi says, Bimarav and Mavarchi in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, they make the bracha on Kiddush Lavana, Baruch Mechadish Chadashim. That's the whole bracha, blessed are you Hashem, that renews the month. Now, Amalei, so Ravashi said to Ravacha, "Hi, Nashe Didan Nami Mavarchi, that type of a bracha, our women could also make such a short bracha." Ella Rabbi says, "Kad Rabbi Huda, the text that you're supposed to have is a much longer bracha, like Rabbi Huda said. Dam Rabbi Huda, like he says, it's Baruch, Bechulu, etc., Ata Hashem Lekain, you make the bracha, which is always the beginning. Asher b'mamar Baruch Chokim, that with his word he created the heavens, u'beruach piv katzavam, and with the spirit of the wind of his mouth, he created all their hosts. Chay Guzman Nesan Lehem, a statute and the time he gave to them, to all the heavenly spheres. Shleishan es Tafkidim, that they should not change their job, which is the mitzvah that he commanded them to go in that, the way the world always continues turning, and all the constellations, everything has its specific job. Which Sasim Besmeichim, rejoicing and happy they are, as it says in Tilm Yutes, Yosuke Giber, like the sun rejoices like a mighty, mighty one, where lasis return kainem, that they're rejoicing and happy to do the will of their creator, paeliemes, they themselves are workers of truth, because they don't change the order that Hashem made them, shepulasinemes, that their actions are truthful, but lavana amar, and specifically to the lavana, to the moon, which we're being mekadosh right now, Hashem says, shetischadosh, that every month it should renew itself, ateres teferes, a crown of splendor, it is La Musi Vatan, for those who are born from the stomach, meaning from the womb, where it's a simon, it's a sign for the people, that they too, who count their calendars according to the lunar calendar, Shehina Sidin L'Schadish Kamaisa, that they're also going to renew themselves like it, like the moon, U'lefala Yitzrem, and to glorify their creator, Hashem Kevod Machusei, because of the name of the honor of his kingdom, Baruch Atah Hashem, blessed you Hashem, Mechadish Chadashim, who renews the months. That concludes that the Gemara's discussion on the previous daf. Now, another teaching from the same Amora, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei, says, "Keep it tachpulais, because through ideas with counsel, taslacha mochama, you'll make a war for yourself." Now, Amr Bacha Bar Chanina, Amr Basa Bar Meichan, and he expounds it homiletically. He says, "B'miata meitzi mechamta shoter." By who do you find when it says in there making a war, what's called the mechamta shoter, the war of Torah? In other words, who's the one that could be a teacher and that could figure out with clarity the primary and distill the points of Torah, not like someone who just is very sharp and has different logics but doesn't know many Mishnais and Brises and texts. Where's he going to get the truth, the secret? It's only someone that knows a lot of Mishnais because he knows the text, and then from there you can figure it out. Someone that's just very sharp, could be analytical, could throw you for a loop, but he's not getting to the truth. Who do you find the war of Torah? Somebody that has bundles of Mishnayos, that's what it means, tachbulos, in the word of chavilos, where if he needs to find the reasoning over here, he could learn it from a different Mishnah that he knows. Or if he has a difficulty on this, he could understand it from all the many Mishnayos that he has and say, oh, who is this going like? It's like that Tana that I heard somewhere else. He's the one that says this idea. As the Gemara says, Kari Rabbi Yosef Anafsh, Rabbi Yosef said regarding himself, a pasuk in Mishlei, the rav tavuos, and the multitude of the grain is through bekoyach sher, is through the strength of the ox. What that means is because his name was Rav Yosef. Now Yosef from the Shvatim was called bechor sher, the firstborn ox, as the pasuk says in Devarim Lamed Gimel, bechor sherei, his firstborn ox. Hadulai is the splendor from which was the bracha that was given to Yosef. Now, the one that has all the teachings, knows all the Mishnayos, is called the Baal Chitin, is the one that has all the wheat. As the Gemara says in Hariyas, Daf Yudal Madalv, everyone needs the master of the wheat, because even if you're sharp, but you need to have wheat to work with. And the Gemara says at the end of Hariyas that Rav Yosef was Sinai, he was the one that knew all the texts, in contrast to Rabbah, who was the very sharp one. So he was saying on himself that the multitude of the Tvuah, which is him, that's Bekayach Shar, that's his name Yosef, to say that, again, he has that Maila, that Midah, of knowing all the Mishnayos, and if you have a Chavilah Shal Mishnah, then you're someone that could go out B'mochamta Shal Torah. Now then the Gemara continues is explaining from our Mishnah, which was speaking about the bedikas we do to the witnesses to verify if there's any discrepancy in their claims, in their testimony. So the Mishnah said, if Echareme B'shtei Shais, if one of the witnesses says it was in the second hour of the day, Chulu etc., and the other one said it was in the third hour of the day, then that's going to be valid. In contrast, if there's going to be a two-hour gap, then there was a machlekes in the Mishnah. Now, that the Gemara qualifies on Amr Simi Bar Ashi. He says, Lo Yishonu, we didn't learn that there's a machlekes in the Mishnah if there's a gap of 2 hours, if that's considered that invalid or not. Ela Shois. Only if there's a difference in hours, where one opinion says that people make a mistake in 2 hours, and the other opinion says, no, there's not such a mistake. You make a mistake in 1 hour, not in 2 hours, and if there's such a discrepancy, then it's void. Aval Bat Echad. If one of them says it was before the sun was rose, the other one says after the sun was out. Now, Netzachama, when the sunrise is a distinct sign. And even if it's a matter of a half hour, people are not going to make an error in Netzachama if it's shining or if it's not shining. It was either dark or not. And therefore, if there's a discrepancy of even less than that, but one says before the Nets, one says afterwards, and they do some Matela, then everyone would agree that would void the testimony. So the Gemara says, Pshita, it's pretty obvious, of course. Says the Gemara, no, Ella, rather what we were saying is, Echrem Ekoidman, that's one saying that is before the sunrise. Echrem Ebetechen, that's the other one says when it was rising, not after the sunrise, it was during. So the Gemara says, Hanamshi, that's still obvious. Before Nets, it was dark, at least darkish. When it was rising, it was getting sunny already. So that's a distinct difference. How could there be such a discrepancy? Says the Gemara, no ma'udetem, what would you think to say, ha-bigiluyikoye, the one who says that it was during the Nets. Really, he really saw the same thing as the guy who says before the Nets. He was just in an open area. The zaharuri ba'amahudachaz, he was just seeing a shine because of the sun, where from the distance, it was before the Nets. And you would say what he saw, what he thought was during the Nets, was a shine that was coming from beyond the horizon. And therefore, it should not be a contradiction. Kamash Mullah, that's what we're teaching, that no, everyone would agree, even if you say, we're not going to assume it was just a shine, you would not make such a mistake, and therefore, that would void the testimony according to everybody. Then the Mishnah continues, afterwards they bring in the witnesses, or they bring in the litigants, and so on, etc., which then it says that, if let's say one of the students finds that he has a reason to explain why he's not guilty, we elevate him, we bring him up to the position of being a judge. And then we said, for that whole day, we don't take him down from being a judge to then put him back as a student. So the Gemara asks, it's only that day, Besulay, and not more than that, meaning after that day, they put him back down to being a student. But Vatani, in the Braisa, if there's substance to what this student was saying, he never then gets back down the mode again to being a student. And if what he said didn't have any substance, so then we don't take him down that entire day, so that his elevation should actually not be a demotion. In other words, if that same day, in front of everybody, when he said, I have what to say, they bring him up to be a judge, and then they put him down, it's going to be very embarrassing. It's going to be humiliating, because it's obvious that he doesn't know what he's saying. If you don't say, no one knows you don't know. But when you go up, then you get taken down. It's worse than not going up in the first place. So, but it seems like that if he has what to say, he never goes down. Why does it sound like from a Mishnah that everyone goes down after that day. So Mabai says, no, Tirgama explained the halach of our Mishnah, interpreted im ein mamish b'dvarav, like we qualified in that brisa, if he doesn't have substance what he's saying, then he goes down on the next day. But no one goes down that same day because it would be embarrassing. But you're right, if someone has substance, he never goes down. Our Mishnah is talking about that after that day he goes back is only if what he said did not have any mamish, did not have any substance. The Mishnah said that Matzulo Yischus Chulu, if let's say they find him not guilty, so then they could right away say the verdict that he's not guilty. But if not, then they have to do what's called Halonasa, then they have to sleep overnight. And moreover, that whole day they eat very little and they don't drink any wine. When that day, when they're waiting for the next day. So the Gemara says, Yain my time aloy, what's the reason that entire day they don't drink any wine? So Amar Rabbah Bar Chanina says, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Mishle, V'la'reznim e'sheicher, that for noblemen, it's not appropriate to have intoxicating drink. But the interpretation he reads it is, Ha'iskin b'radzi shalem, the word reznim has the root there of secret. Those that are involved in the secret of the world, meaning in the words, plumbing the depths of the words of Torah, because it's a real important Torah decision regarding if a person is going to be executed, al yishtaku, they should not become intoxicated. That's what it says, ei sheicher, and therefore they don't drink wine. The Mishnah said, matzla yischus, as we said before, if they find favor, etc., which the primary etc. here is on the words in the Mishnah of, if let's say they come to a point where it's 36 guilty, 35 not guilty, which we said that's the max you can go to, but neither can we prosecute and execute based on the majority of one. So the Mishnah then says, dun elu keneged elu, then they have to fight it out, so to speak, until one of them will find the other person. You'll have someone go from the guilty to the not guilty or from the not guilty to the guilty so that we could have either majority of more than two of guilty or at least one of not guilty. Now the Gemara asks, but let's say not one of either party sees the validity of the other sides and they are in what's known as a stalemate. They remain in their disagreement. My, what do you do then? If you have 36 guilty, 35 not guilty, you cannot pronounce them guilty and neither non-guilty. So what do you do? So Merbachi says, patronize it, then we let him go. Because a stalemate, it's what's called a hung jury, we can't do anything. Patronize it, then we let him go. Now the Gemara asks, if that's the case, Omer Papa Labai, he says, then Malifter Mikara. Then we should have let him go all the way in the beginning. Meaning from the moment that they kept adding two and two and two and two, it kept on getting split along party lines. They reached till 71. Then they're still divided. Why do we delay it and say, okay, let them first fight it out and they deliberate and they have all these different discussions right away? Once we see, why should we try to get him to a situation that we can execute him? We always try getting him not executed. That's a lot of the halachas that we say. So then, if anyway, a hung jury, you let him go, so then let him go. Why do we still fight it out? So Amalei said to him, this Rabbi Yochanan says, that they should yet to me bezn muvav, that they should not leave court in a state of disarray. Meaning it's a disgrace to the court that they have what's called a hung jury and they cannot conclude their judgment where it was inconclusive. And because of that, we try to first find a way of having a resolution, whether guilty or not guilty, but then when there's no possibility, after even done elu el seilu, then we say we let him go. Ikidami, those say a different version of that previous discussion. The only Rav Papa Labai said, "V'lomali yosifu." His question in this version was even an earlier step. Why, when the first 23 judges had this split, and then we said that, okay, so then we can't prosecute based on those numbers, you have to add two and two and two, why? Why don't, at that point already, we have them fight it out? If one of them finds to turn over to the other side, then good. And if not, lift to Rimi Beit Din Nekama. Let him go on that 23 judges. Why add more? So Amalei says, he said to me, right, Rabbi Yisi Koy Kavasach, Rabbi Yisi actually holds like you. The Tanakh Lunar Bryce, Rabbi Yisi, he says, Keshem She'im Asifin, Al Bezin, Shoshim, Me'echa, just like we never add more when you have the Sanhedrin HaGadol, more than 71 judges. Kach Im Asifin, Al Bezin, Shalasa Meshlesha, so too we did not add more than the court of 23. When it has 23, Rabbi Yisi holds, as your question, that we don't add more and it will be done Elo as Elo. And then, if you can't, then it's a hung jury and then we let him go. Tanakh Lunar Bryce, we say regarding a case of monetary law, nizdakin hadin, the law has grown old. But regarding capital punishment, we don't say that. So the Gemara says, "My nizdakin hadin." What does that mean? This term that we say by din imamnis and not by din nefashis, that the judgment has grown old. Elim, if you're going to say kashdina, meaning it gets old, meaning it's gotten hard. When like something gets old, hardens, and it got very deep and difficult, and therefore we can't just judge it. We have to take time. We got to be masun b'din. And that's what it means, nizdakin, it got hard. But then ipchumi poilim actually should be the other way around. By capital punishment, you have to put more thought into it. Why would we only say b'din ha'mamonos and not b'din ha'fashos? So Rav Huna bar Menachem, Mishmei d'Ravacha, b'rei d'Avika, he says, no, it means kashdina, but ipuch, you have to turn it around. We only say nizdakin ha'din b'din ha'fashos and not b'din ha'mamonos. Rav Ashim, he says, no, lo'olam lo tebech, don't switch it around. Because the mind is dark and adin, what does it mean that the law has gotten old, that you say by din imam and it's not by din nefashis? It means chacham dina, meaning because the word getting old could mean more than one thing. Something gets old, a lot of times it gets hard. And also sometimes when something gets old, he becomes wiser. So he interprets it means chacham dina, means say we really judge this very well. And therefore none of us should turn around and change and start analyzing to overturn what we had said. So that's what we say, that we don't say by capital punishment. Because even once they conclude the verdict, if one of them goes and analyzes and they finds a reason to say why he's not guilty, we do overturn the verdict. So that's what we say. Yeah, we only say the b'din ha'mamonos that we're done. We're not looking back at it. B'din ha'fashos, we don't say nizdak and adin that we did smart, because if someone could find them not guilty, we will overturn it. So the Gemara asks, the Gemara asks on the first interpretation from the following b'raisa. The b'raisa says regarding this halacha, that gadol shebadayan and oimin nizdakin hadin. It's the greatest, the head judge, he's the one that says this concept of nizdakin hadin. He makes that announcement. So says the Gemara, iam b'shleim ha'chacham dina. If you say like the second interpretation, that it means say that we judged very well, that's what it means, like chacham, like someone that became old, wise. Haindam gadol. So we can understand why the head judge says that, because he's the one that he's the one that sees everything. He's the smartest of them all. He says, look, we did well, guys. Leave it alone. Don't start looking at it again. But if you say it means to say that it got very hard, we don't really understand this very well. We got to give this time. So it's not enough that it has to be the great judge that has to say this. But he's embarrassing himself. If he has to come out and say, look, we don't know, we got to give this time, it's embarrassing. Why does the head judge have to say that? So the Gemara says, yes, he has to say it. Why? Because ain't a daimon misbayish ma'atzma. You can't compare someone that he embarrasses himself to misbayish ma'achem. It's much more embarrassing when other people embarrass you. In other words, it's better for him to be upfront and be transparent and embarrass himself and not let someone else in the court say, you know, we don't really know what's going on. And then he's going to get embarrassed when someone else discloses that. Better than he be the one. Yes, it's the gadol, it's a great one that he says, look, we don't know. Better than someone else opening the door and showing that he doesn't really know. Igadami, that those that say a different version of the question, the other way around. Iyamit b'shleim kashdina, if you say that it means that it's gotten hard, sahainu, so we could understand why it has to be the great, the head judge has to say it, because like we just said, you can't compare how more humiliating it is when someone else says it than when you say it yourself. So who's going to come and say, we don't know? It has to be the muflesh of a bezin. But Eli Yamit Chacham Din, if you say it's the second interpretation that it's we're saying we judged very well, so God Lashbuchi Meshabach Navshi, so the head judge, who he's the one that takes responsibility, he's the one that starts praising himself and saying we did a great job. But if the pasuk says Mishle Yahaluch Hazar V'loy Picha, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. Don't start singing your own praises. But here he's singing his own praises. Is that appropriate? So think about, yes, because Shani Milsa de Beidina, the actions of the court are different. The Agodl Rami, because that's the responsibility of the head judge. Even things that sound like he's praising himself, he's the one that has to make the announcements. Kedna, like we'll in the Mishnah Daf Chav Tesam and Alf, that says, Gamre Sadava, when they conclude the court case and they're ready to hand down the verdict, so Hayimachnis and they would bring everyone back in. And Gadol Shebedayan Oimer, the head judge would say, Ish Plenei Atazakai, you are not guilty, Ish Plenei Atchayv, you are guilty, and therefore we see it's his responsibility to make the announcements, even if it's a self-aggrandizing type of announcement, which is that saying we did good, but that's his responsibility, and therefore it's not considered something that's arrogant, and therefore it's not a difficulty, even if you'd say Chacham Dina, it's going to be the head judge that makes that announcement. We shall return to the fifth parak of Masechtas Sanhedrin, parak Hayibaitkin. With that, we turn to Amad Beis. We begin the sixth parak of Masechtas Sanhedrin, parak Nigmar Hadin, which this continues on the theme of the previous parak, previous Mishnayos, regarding, as the title of the parak, Nigmar Hadin, when we concluded the court case and we find him guilty, how do we proceed? So the Mishnah says, Meitzin Oysel L'Sakli, so we take him out to get him stoned. Now, the reason why we start off with this four Mises Bezdin, we start off with being stoned because that's the most severe of the four types of death that the court gives. And therefore we start off with Skila, and then the remaining Mishnayos and Perek later on go in the order of the different types of death penalties. So we start off with Skila. So they take him out to be stoned. Beisa Skila Hayachutz LaBezdin. So the place of where they would stone him would be out of the court at a small distance from the court itself. Shnemak, it says in the Pasuk, Yikra Chaitzias Makal, take out the one who cursed, who has to get the death penalty of being stoned. Obviously, we see that where he gets killed is not the place of where the court convenes and judges him as guilty. Rather, they take him out somewhere out of the court. Now, however, when they take him out to that place to be stoned, Echad Eimel Al Pesach Besen, so the court appoints someone to stand by the entryway of the courthouse. V'hasudarim biyadei, and he holds these kerchiefs, these cloths, these flags in his hand, which later on is going to explain what does he need them for. V'sus rachik mimenu, and there's someone that's riding a horse that's at a distance from him, k'dishi re'ehu, so that person who's riding the horse, who's at a little bit of distance from the house of closer towards the place where he gets stoned, but close enough where he can run after those who are trying to stone him and save the person. So he's at a distance from the one who's holding the flags in his hand where he could still see him so that when he needs to, when he sees him picking up the flags, he'll get the signal. Where that's, as we'll see later on, when they're coming to find some way of a schus for him, that he'll be able to raise the flag, he'll see him, he'll quickly run after them. Now, as the Mishnah says, the way this is if Omer Echad, if one of the members of the court say, Yeshli Lam Lav Schus, you know what? I know he's on the way to be executed. I just thought of something that would find him to be not guilty. So what happens is like this. Halal, the one who's standing by the doorway, he hears from the court that there's someone who wants to say he's not guilty. Meinif Besudarm. So he picks up these flags, and the one who's riding the horse sees him, recognizes that signal. Vasus Ratz, and the one riding the horse runs after those who are taking this guy to be stoned, Umamidan, and he stops them until the court goes and debates this, if there's some legitimacy to what this person has to say, to see if maybe they bring him back and say he's not guilty. Moreover, says the Mishnah, Vafila Hu Aimer, even if the one who's going to be executed himself, he says, Yeshli Lama Las Mischus, I have what to say, something in my favor that I'll be proved that I'm not guilty. Machzir Nai said, we take him back to the court. I feel like arba v'chamesh pam, even 4 or 5 times, but as long as there's some substance of what he has to say, meaning there's some inclination of proof that sounds like that it might really be that he might not be guilty, which the Gemara is going to ask, how do those who take him to be stoned know if there's substance of what he's saying or not? They're not tamidei chachamim. And the Gemara will address that question. Now the Gemara asks regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, Ubeis aski l'chutz l'bezn hab. It sounds like from our Mishnah that we said that the place of where the person gets stoned, it's out of the courthouse. That's required. But it sounds like basuloi. But it doesn't have to be anything more than that. Like it doesn't have to be out of the three camps that the Jewish people were set up in, Machna Shechiyah, Machna Levi, Machna Yisrael. No, just out of the court, but not beyond the three machnas. I'm not thinking about time, but learn the Brayse that says, Beis aski l'chutz, the place of where he would be stoned, hayachutz l'shosh machnas. It was out of the three camps, which that's appropriate to talk about when you're discussing Yerushalayim. Because in regards to Yerushalayim, there's the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which that's called Machna Shechina, the Shechina camp. Then the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, was called Machna Leviyah. And then the entire city of Yerushalayim is called the Machna Yisrael. And you have that would, so therefore, regarding that court, it would mean out of Yerushalayim. But regarding the courts of every single city, which we said every city had these courts of 23, what we're saying in the Brice is that the place where he'd be stoned would be out of the city, similar to Yerushalayim, which it means out of the three camps, meaning out of Yerushalayim, which is out of that city, and so to every city. So you see, it's not just enough to be out of the courthouse, but it has to be out of the city. Says the Gemara in, could he comment? Yes, like you said from the Brice, it has to be out of the city. B'hadik Tanihachi, so then why did we say in the Mishnah that it has to be just out of the courthouse? The nafkamina, the difference by saying that is because the enafik beidin of Yosef, if it would happen that the courthouse itself would be established outside chutz l'sholosh machnes, out of the three camps, meaning it would be out of the city. For example, when you have these two Sanhedris that were the minor Sanhedrin, which are 23 in Yerushalayim, one was by the entryway to the courtyard, and one was by the entryway of the Har HaBayis. And so to every city, if they went and established their place, not just where they were in the city, but rather out of the wall of the city, still, that's what our Mishnah is teaching, although you're already fulfilling the halacha, the braisa, that's out of the three machnas, avdin and besaski l'chutz l'bezn, you still have to make the place where it gets stoned out of the court itself, at least a distance from the court. So you're already out of the three machnas, it still has to be out of the courthouse itself. The reason for that is, kihechad l'mischazi bezn reitzchen, that it should not appear to be that this is a court that murders, which it's a disgrace, as the Mishnah teaches in Malkus Tav Zayin Amud Aleph, that a Sanhedrin that kills once every 7 years is called a chavlan, is called a destructive court. And for sure, if the court, if where he gets stoned is close to the place of where the courthouse is, then it's going to look like, oh, this is a place where people get murdered. So because of that, we have the place where he gets stoned at a distance from the courthouse itself. Or inami, another reason why they would distance the Beis HaSkilah from the Kodesh itself is that there should be a delay in time when they're on the way to take the person to be stoned, because at least in that amount of time, maybe one of the people will find the proof to find them not guilty, and they'll be able to save him and bring him back. That there should be some type of a rescue for that person. That's why we make it not immediate, but that till they get him to that place, maybe they'll find him to be not guilty. Now, the Gemara says, "Minan Emili." Where do we know this from? That which is said in the Braisa, that the Beis HaSkilah was out of all the three camps, which in every city basically means out of the city. So it says the Gemara, the Tanya, like, learn the Braisa. Pasuk in the Yikra says, "Haitzei as a makalil el mechutz lamachna." Take out the one who cursed. And this was an incident in the times of the Midbar, the 40 years in the Midbar. Someone that was a cursed, that blasphemed, and he had to get the punishment of being stoned. So it says, "Take him out of the machna, out of the camp." Says the Braisa, that means chutz l'gimel machnas, out of all the three camps. Says the Braisa, "Ato ima chutz l'gimel machnas." Is that so? Is the pasuk telling you out of all the three camps? So maybe it means only out of one camp, maybe out of the machna shchina. How do you know it means out of all three camps? So that says the Braisa, "Nemer kama chutz l'machna." It says over here regarding being stoned out of the camp. "V'nemer b'par manas rav." It also says regarding the bulls which would get burnt, meaning generally a carbon doesn't get totally burnt, and it doesn't get burnt out of the machna, but there's what's called the parhelm dabish al tzibur, when the entire Jewish people have an error in law from the bezdin, or the par koin mashiach, when the koin gadol makes an error in halacha and he follows through on that. The halacha is that those karbanos do not get consumed; they don't get eaten. Rather, they get totally burnt, as the pasuk says, "Vahitzi es kol haparal mechutz l'machna." You take the entire bull out of the camp and you burn it over there. Now, by the parma nesrafman also says chutz l'machna, out of the camp. Now we make the following zerish of it. Just like over there, it means out of all the three camps. Avkan chutz l'shalosh machnas. Here also, when it says regarding the one who's being stoned, that you stone him out of the machne, it means out of all the three machnas. So the Gemara continues and says, "Well, v'hasmanal. Where do we know? We're learning out the mekal who gets stoned from the parma nesrafim, that there it's out of all three machnas. Here also, how do you know over there? It doesn't say chutz l'shalosh machnas. It says chutz l'machne. How do you know that there it also means out of all the three machnas?" Says the Gemara, "Tanya rabban, like learn the brayso." The pasuk says in the Yikra, "V'hoiti es kol ha'par el mechutz l'machna." You take out the entire bull out of the camp. Says the brayso, "Chutz l'shalosh machnas." That means out of all the three camps. Says the brayso, "Ato ema chutz l'shalosh machnas." Are you really going to say it means out of all three camps? Or ena elu chutz l'machna achas? Or maybe it means to say out of only one camp. And that says the brayso, "No, kishu oimer." When it says later on, "El mechutz l'machna b'par eida," regarding the bull of the people, when the entire Jewish people have a sin. When the Sanhedrin made a mistake in halacha, and everyone did that mistake, so it says that you take it out of the machna to burn it over there. We're she'in tamalayma. We're not learning anything from that pasuk. Why not? Sherek kvar nema, because the pasuk already says over there besarf oisa, you should burn the parhelm dabish al tzibur kasha sarf esapah harishin. The pasuk itself says you should burn it how you burn that original power that we spoke about, which it said over there al mechutz l'machna. Now what's that coming to teach? Rather, it's coming to teach, meaning, and therefore you already know, just like the first part that we're speaking about of the Kohen Mashiach, that was the first one that spoke about, when he makes a mistake and he follows through in halacha and he acts on it erroneously, it says already over there, Mechutz L'machna. So why when talking about Parahelm Dabash Al Tzibur, it says, do it Mechutz L'machna? I already know, because it says, do it like the first bolt, which is Mechutz L'machna. Rather, it's Litin Loi Machna Shchina, rather it's to give not only him, but actually all of them, because it's comparing the two of them. It's saying, do what it do over there. So what's over there? Well, it can't be just out of one machna, because then why is it saying it again, mechutz l'machna here too? It's coming to say that you actually take it out, both of them, because they both have to be the same, out of a second camp, which is not all out of machna shchina, but even out of machna levia. But it doesn't finish over there. Because ukeshu aima, when it says the pasuk earlier in the parasha, it says, el mechutz l'machna bedeshen. Regarding in the parasha of Tzavis Aaron, and it talks about taking out the deshen, the pile of ashes that are on the pile, which is on the outer mizbeach, it says that you take out the ashes to mechutz l'machna. What do you do with all those extra ashes of all the kabbans that burn? Take it out of the camp. Now, she'in tam aleima, that pasuk is not teaching us anything. Why not? Sherek kvar nema, because the pasuk already says, which we quoted before, when it talks about the par koin mashiach, which again is when the leader of the Jewish people makes an error in his halacha, it says that al shefech hadeshen yisarf, that on the pile of where the ashes are poured, which is out of the machne, that's where the par koin mashiach should be burnt. Now, it already says over there that it's chutz l'machne. So I already know from that pasuk by Parakoyin Mashiach that where do the ashes get poured? Are out of the machne. So why over here by the parsha of Shevach HaDeshen does it say mechutz l'machne? I already know it from that other pasuk there where it says that you where there it's out of the machne and you're pouring it where the ashes get poured. So I already know. So why by the parsha of Shevach HaDeshen does it have to say mechutz l'machne? Rather, it's litin loy. It's to give all the three of them regarding where you pour the ashes, regarding Par Koin Mashiach, regarding Par Helm Dabash Al Tzibah, because we're putting them all together, all being compared to each other, that to give them a machna shlishes, to take it out of even a third camp. Because by default, obviously, each one are on the same place. And it says three times Mechutz L'Machne, which are not necessary. We already know that from the other teachings. And therefore, that's how we know that Par Helm Dabash Al Tzibah and regarding Par Koin Mashiach, which are the Parman Estofim, are out of all the three machnas. And that's how we know regarding the Makal, because it says by both the Mechutz L'Machne, just like over there means out of all three Machnas, here also by the Makal, Mechutz L'Machne means to say that when you stone the person, it has to be out of all the three Machnas. But the Gemara asks, why? But Leilif, let us learn the halacha of Makal, meaning someone that has to get stoned, when it says by him Mechutz L'Machne, you should learn the Mishchut Echutz, from the halacha of when someone slaughters a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, where there the Isser is, not only out of all three machnas, but even if it's only out of one machna, meaning out of machna shchina, as the pasuk says in Mikyud Zayin, the pesach oil moy lo hiviu. If you did not bring the carbon to the opening of the oil moy, meaning in the azara, rather you slaughtered it out of the courtyard, meaning even on harabayis, one violates the isra of shchut echutz, and as it says over the mechutz l'machna. So ask the Gemara, mala hal mechutz l'machna achas, just like over there when it says out of the machna. It means out of one machna, out of machna shchina, meaning out of the courtyard of the base of Migdash, one violates the Issa of Shchut Echutz. So afkan chutz l'machna achas. Maybe here also when it talks about the Makal being stoned out of the machna, learn it from there, not from Parman Nesrafim. Learn that it's even out of one machna you could stone him, and it doesn't have to be out of all three machnas. Says the Gemara, no mistab, it's logical. Mi Parman Nesrafim havle l'melef. It's more logical to say that the Makal should be learned from these burnt bulls, from the Par Koin Mashiach and Par Helm Dabash Al Tzibur, and not from this halach of Shchut Echutz. Why? Shekein, because, and the Gemara quotes a mnemonic to recall the areas where Mekal is similar to the Parma HaNesrafim in four different areas where it's dissimilar to Shchut Echutz. What are these four areas? And therefore, since they're similar, it would make sense to learn from them. One of them is Haitze. Regarding the Mekal and the Parm, it says a term of take them out. In contrast to Shchut Echutz, doesn't say to take it out. Actually, the violation is when you're out. But the Parma Nesrafim, you have to take them out. And the one who's being stoned also says to take him out. So that's one comparison. Moreover, it says by both of them, El Michutz L'Machne, take them out to outside of the camp. Now, by Shchut Echutz, it doesn't say El Michutz L'Machne. It rather says, Ashe Yishachid Michutz, that which is slaughtered outside. So it doesn't say the term El Michutz L'Machne. But by Parma Nesrafim and by Mekal, it says those words, El Michutz L'Machne. That's the second area that they're common. Third one is also the Mechutz L'Machne that it says by both Parma Nesrafim and Mekal, they're both machshir. They're both preparatory actions for the mitzvah. Because to go ahead and burn it outside and to go ahead and stone this person outside, which both are mitzvahs in the Torah, in contrast, the Mechutz L'Machne that it says by Shchut Echutz is not a preparation for a mitzvah. To the contrary, it's actually a sin, slaughtering a carbon outside. And finally, the fourth area that Mekal and Parm share in common is that of Mechaper, that by those two things, when you take them out, they're atonements. As the Mishnah says later on, the from Gimel Mabez, regarding when this context of stoning someone, the Mekal, who is deserving of the death penalty, says, Hayim Ezat Ta'achr, meaning only today you're getting something bad, but it's going to be an atonement for the person. And so too, the mitzvah of Parma Nesrafim is part of the carbon, which is an atonement for the Aveira that the Kohen Gadol did or that the Jewish people did. In contrast, slaughtering a carbon outside of the Azara is not an atonement. To the contrary, it's a sin. So since they share these four common characteristics, it would make sense that we learn the Mekal from Parma Nesrafim, that it means Chutz L'Machne out of all three camps. Now the Gemara asks, but Andra, up to the contrary. Mishchut Echutz Havalei L'Melech. No, we should have learned Mekal from the Isra of slaughtering carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash. Shekein, because there are also these four commonalities that Shchut Echutz has with Mekal, which are dissimilar to the halacha of Parma Nesrafim. Why? Shekein Adam. First of all, the halacha of slaughtering a carbon out of the machna and the one who did this avera of being Mekal are both talking about people. Mekal did avera, and the one who's slaughtering is also outside. Because regarding Shchut Echutz, it talks about the person who slaughters on the outside, that he should not slaughter out of the machne. In contrast, the mechutz la-machne, it says regarding the parm and the sofim, is going on the par, on the bull. It's not going in the person. It doesn't say, yaitze, he should go out. Rather, it says, v'haitzi, that he should take out as kol ha-par el mechutz la-machne. The mechutz la-machne of the parm is going on the par. In contrast, by the mekal and the mechutz la-machne, it's the subject is the person. So that's one commonality. Second of all is chayte. The mekal, the one who cursed, he's a sinner. And the one who slaughters outside of the Beis HaMikdash is also a sinner. In contrast to the par, there's no sin over there. Third of all, b'neshama. The mechutz la-machne of both the mekal and the shchut echutz both involve taking a life. This guy gets stoned, and this animal is getting slaughtered. In contrast, by the parm and the sofim, it already was slaughtered before it's taken out. And fourth of all is pigul, which is that the mechutz la-machne of shchut echutz and mekal, there's no element of pigul over there in that mechutz la-machne. This guy's being stoned, there's nothing to do with that. And here a guy slaughtering a carbon out of the Beis HaMikdash, there's no pigul, anyway, it's not kosher. In contrast, by the parm and the sofim, it is possible to have pigul by this halacha of taking it out of the machne, because if he would slaughter it with the intention to sacrifice the sacrificial parts out of the area where it's allowed to, that would make it into pigul. Because as Rashi says, actually the Gemara here is utilizing the terminology of the pasuk, where it's calling chutzla mekaymai. There's two things that are called pigul. One is out of the time that you're allowed to eat it, where there's no eating over here. And chutzla mekaymai, which does apply over here, is sacrificing in the place where it's not appropriate. Because as the Gemara says in Zvachim, meaning although the terminology, the rabbinic terminology, pigul refers to chutzla zmanai, here when we sing pigul, we mean the biblical terminology of chutzla mekaymai, where that only applies to the parm and the sofim, and then that meaning to say that chutzla mekaymai and mekal, they're common, that there's no pigul. So just like there's four over there's four over here, so why are we learning mekal from parm and the sofim, that it's three machnas, and not from the halacha of shchut echutz, it was only one machna. Still, the Gemara says, "Machshir mi machshir adiflei." Although each one has four commonalities, it's still better and it's more ideal to learn out chusla machne, to learn out the halacha of mekal from parm and sofim, and not meaning the chusla machne says by both mekal and by parm, which they're both obligations, and therefore it's fit to learn one from the other. And in contrast to the mechutzla machne b'shchut echutz, which that's actually inappropriate and not a mitzvah, it still would make sense to say that these are commands that should be done. You learn them out from each other, in contrast to b'shchut echutz, where that's an avera, and therefore we wouldn't be learning from that. And that's how we know that it has to be three machnas. And since we know that's three machnas, that's how we know the halacha of beis haskila, which also says chutzla machne, is also going to be out of three camps. Rav Papa, he gives a different interpretation where we know this halacha that the Beis Haskila has to be out of three camps. He says, Meisha Beinu was a Levi. Heicha Hava Yosef, where was he dwelling? B'machna Leviya, he was in the Levite camp. V'amalei Rachman, and the Torah tells him, Hashem tells him, Haitze es mekal el mochutz l'machna. Where was Meisha Beinu? B'machna Leviya. And it says, take the one who cursed out of the camp, which tells you chutz l'machna Leviya, out of your camp, which is the Levite camp. Then later on it says, V'yitzias mekal l'mochutz l'machne, they took the one who cursed out of the camp. It says another time. What is that? That's to say even more, chutz l'machne Yisrael, out of the third camp, out of the machne Yisrael, that's how you know that the one who gets stoned, the mekal, has to be out of all three camps. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? That last pasuk is not extra to say out of another camp. Haimei boyle la'asiyah, that you need to say that they did as they were commanded, that it just says that that's what they did. It's not saying to do out of another camp, this is what they were commanded. That's one pasuk. The other one says what they did. How do you know that it's saying another camp? Nothing more says no, because asiyah behedik siva. The fact that they did what they were told, that the pasuk explicitly says there in that pasuk, as we continue to have a gimel manav, it says, b'nei yisol asu kashat siva Hashem es Maisha. The Jewish people did as Hashem commanded Maisha. It says there in that pasuk, which includes everything. So why does it say, and they took him out of the camp? Obviously saying for the numbers to say out of another camp, which is out of even Machne Yisrael, out of the third camp. But the Gemara asks, El Me'atav, if that's the case, that you're expounding V'yitziu, because to say anything that they did is extra, because it already says they did everything, so then you should also have to expound what it says there in that pasuk, V'yirgimo Eisa Oven, that they stoned him with stones, but that was already included in saying they did everything that Hashem said to Moshe. So my Abdili, what's that coming to teach? That's seemingly superfluous too. Says the Gemara, you're right. Ha'umi ba'ilei l'kintani. That we need for what we learned in the following brisa, when it says v'yigumu oisai be'evan, that they stoned him with stones. Oisai, when it says him, that's coming to teach v'loy b'chsusai, but not with his clothing. Meaning they stoned him naked, where although actually It says already by the command, not by this pasuk, we're saying what they did, by the command it says v'rag mo'aysai, that they should stone him, where that should say him without his clothing. But yes, since, as we'll see in a second, that we're expounding anyway the extra word even, so once we're expounding superfluous, we expound also over here the word oysai. But that's where the word oysai comes to say him and not his garment. And when it says that they stoned him with even, with a stone, tells you she'im meis be'even achas yatzah, that if he's killed with even one singular stone, then he fulfilled the obligation, you don't have to stone him with anything more. Now says the Gemara, v'itzorch l'michtav eben, it was necessary to say one pasuk, which is by the Makal, which we, as we just quoted, says a singular term, they kill him with a stone. But v'itzorch l'michtav avon, but also had to say in Bamidbar regarding the Mekayshish, who is someone else that had to get the death penalty because he did a malacha on Shabbos, that it says in the plural of that they kill him with stones. Why does it have to say one singular, one plural? To teach you these halachas. Because Rechman Evan had it only said, like it says by the Makal, in the singular, the stone. Havamina, I would have thought to say, if he does not die with one stone that we throw at him, then then we don't bring any more to kill him. We could only have that, we have a max of one stone. So and that's why the other pasuk says, no stones, even if one doesn't kill him, then you take as many stones as necessary. Now, because Rechman Evan had it only the other pasuk, it says stones. Then I would have thought to say that the minimum has to be plural. You have to bring at least two stones to stone with. That's why it says the other parasha in the singular, where if you kill him with one, that's enough. You don't have to give him more than one stone. Now, however, the Gemara asks on this last interpretation how we know that it's out of all three machnas. But for ha-haitana, but the tana that we brought first in the first interpretation, nemar kamar, he says that we have a gzeir shava, that we know mechutz l'machne from the Mekal, who we have to stone. From the word mechutz l'machne, it says by the parasha of Parma Nesrafim. So how did Rav Papa come and disagree with the Tana and say a whole new interpretation, because it's said to Moshe Rabbeinu and it says out of the machne, and again out of the machne, but the Tana already says that we know from Gezeirah Shavah. What's he bringing new interpretations? Says the Gemara, no, iluloi nemar kamar. He was saying that had it not said, v'hachakam, and this is what the Tana of the Brice is saying. He's saying that this that the Tana Brisa says that you know from Gzeirah Shavah is not precise. Rather, what the Tana was saying was that even if ilu loy nemakra had it been that if we did not have a pasuk, meaning like a papa brought from a pasuk, the Tana was saying, but it's a Gzeirah Shavah. If it's a pasuk, we don't need a Gzeirah Shavah. You're right. The Tana Brisa was just saying that even if we didn't have a pasuk, still I would not be able to say that you only stone them out of one camp. Because of Yisi Aimer, I would have said that it would be out of three camps, because there we know it from Gzeirah Shavah, from Parma Nesrafim. But you're right, that's what your papa was saying. Akshav Shenem Akrav, now that there's a pasuk, Gzeirah Shavah Leitzarach, it's not necessary to have Gzeirah Shavah. So although the Tana Brisa was saying Gzeirah Shavah, Rav Papa was clarifying, and he was saying a second interpretation, which even the Tana Brisa agrees to, that we actually know from the Sukkim itself. The Tana Brisa was just adding fuel to that fire, saying, and even if we didn't have a pasuk, I would know it's from Gzeirah Shavah. They would tell us this halacha that it has to be out of three machnas and not just out of one machnas.